Okay, everyone has a sheet now? Gemara says in the end of Bavastra, Rubam Gezel, Miutum Barayos, Okulam Bavaklash and Hara. Rather, sombering analysis of our state of being, as we're on the other hand telling us that it's nothing new and it's a natural part of being human, even being a Yiddish human, and the Torah recognizes that. But we're not supposed to just resign ourselves, resolve and accept it and go on. We have to address these issues. Chafetz Chaim did an incredible, world-changing job on the Avak Lashon Hara department, and has raised the consciousness of Klal Yisrael to Shmiras HaLashon to an unprecedented level. The Galena Rebbe and Ramat Isko together, the Shlita, the Shpoz B'Gezunt, have done a lot in the last year or two to raise our consciousness as far as the Miutum Berayos, especially that which goes into the contemporary technology types of Berayos. And we're trying to address the Rubam Begezel. That's a frightening statement, Rubam Begezel. You look around at yourself or your friends, your neighbors, your shulmates, your chavrusas. You don't want to look at them as rov of them being Hazlanim. We hope that most Yidden are kosher Yidden. So that's what learning Chayshe Mishpat opens up to us, to realize that there's much more the Gezel than being a bank robber or a pickpocket. Open types of Gnei and Gzei like that, no one would do. Any person that's in any shade of Erlichkeit. Well, it's not someone that's so desperate and loses that any kind of sense and he gets to that kind of point. It's terrible, Hashem Yisroel. But our own sensitivities have to be heightened as we learn more to what really goes into Gezel. We've spoken in recent weeks about the concepts of bimazik, of causing damage, loss to another person, and how Rabbeinu Yonah says they're all included under the canopy, the umbrella of Lo Sigzol. And therefore, someone that's careless about causing damage to other people goes into that Rubo Megezel. But I wanted to touch on directly into some halachis of Gneva and Gzela, as presented over here at the Shulchan Aruch. What I gave you over here is basically straight Lashon HaShulchan Aruch, beginning of Hilchos Gneva and beginning of Hilchos Gzela, with a couple of quotations from the Shach on location. And just to give us from this a little bit of a better guideline and understanding how to judge what's permissible to indulge and take of someone else's and what is not. Shulchan Aruch starts both at the beginning of Hilchos Gneiva and Hilchos Gzela. Let's take it from the beginning of the first one. Beginning of Hilchos Gneiva. Let's also lignav a filo kol shehu din teira. Let's also take a filo kol shehu, which means a filo pachav shavar pruta. Because that's a klal in all the lachas of the Torah that chazishir also in our Torah, and even if a chazishir or chazi pruta, less than a pruta's worth, people are meichel. You're not going to have a din of a heshiv of having to repay it, but it's still wrong to do, and then have his big meichel you after the fact. There's still an issue that's being done, and as he's saying over here, shulchan aruch is aser din Torah midoraisa. Vaser ligna vafila derech schaik vafila manas lahachzer o gadei l'shalayim tashlumi kefal o gadei l'tzarei hakol aser gadei shel yargalatz v'bekach. Actual gezel or gneiva, in this instance over here, gneiva is that which is done secretively, stealthily, hiding, trying to avoid being seen. Gzeil is that which is done openly, brazenly, by force, by a threat, by a use of force, often with arms, to be able to overpower and your money or your life and take something from him against his will. The dinim of Gneiva and Gzela, as they divide in regard to the tashlumim, the penalties of kefal and dal v'hei, etc., is not our concern at this point. We want to know what we're allowed to do, what we're not allowed to do, not after the fact when something went wrong, what are the psak bezdin nowadays, or when we could have passed into Knossos. I'm focusing right now on what we are or we're not allowed to do. And therefore, for us, the Gneiva or Gzela distinction, either way, it's a lav. Lo Sigzol, lo Signovu, they're both lavim in the Torah. And it's also a fila called Jehu. A fila derech schaik or gedei letzaro. I was just joking. Or I was just teasing. Teasing is gedei letzaro. So if you're going to come back to your seat and your hat or your sefer, your coat is going to be missing and you get all upset. And then, oh, here it is, haha. And give it back. Certainly in schools, you know, the children do these kind of practical jokes. That's an English word for gzela. All the time, it's something that really chinuch has to address, to know that you wouldn't eat chazer and then haha was a joke. It's still chazer. Now the emesa gzela could be only the real deraisa dika, real mokoi, could be when I'm stealing something to take and to keep. When I'm hiding it and giving back by never taking it to have it myself, it lacks in the losigzel of it, making kinyanim of it, taking it for yourself. And that's why the Lashon Shulchan Aruch, which is the Lashon of the Rambam, ends, Kadesh le yargas from bekach. Because you push the limits like this and you end up, you'll come to real gzela. Could be this is not actual gzela, and the Ksos has a discussion about whether the dinim in these cases of kinyanim gzela and the chiyav heshev and chiyav onsin. Again, that's beyond the scope of this discussion. But it's an Isser nonetheless. And therefore, even for a moment to tease or to make a joke, or kedei l'sham b'shlumei kefil. What does it mean, kedei l'sham b'shlumei kefil? A guy has a friend that he knows that he's rather tight right now in his matzav. I'd like to give him money, but he doesn't consider himself to be needy or is beneath his dignity to start taking. I'll go over to him and say, can I give you $100? I'll say, what for? You know, well, I'm not a poor man. He has enough honor, he doesn't want to do that. So I'm a lamdan. So I'll go and I'll steal something from him. I'll let someone catch me. Okay, I have to pay him back. In fact, I won't admit to it, so I'll be caught by Adam. I'll have to pay back twice. Here, now you have $200. Gvaltik. I accomplished what I wanted to. I'm very smart, right? Very smart enough to be able to go to Ganem. Smart enough to be able to do over Lava Notera. And that's what Shulchan Aruch is saying over here. Chalila Shem Shemino. Even if that's how the Mepharshim explain what's going on with the Kefil. Even if I do it with this kind of intent to be able to help him out, because this way he'll take the money and now he'll deserve it. Right? Ava Pikein, it's still Aser. There's a Shiltzais, I think in Parshas Noyach, I didn't bring it, that says that, and this is also a Chinuch situation. I've told my son, or your son, I've told my neighbor's son, 20 times, if not 100, you better leave or put your bike away at night or lock it up or else it's going to get stolen one of these days. And he always just leaves it over there in front yard and walks inside and leaves it over there. He's so careless with other people's money. His parents, mom, doesn't care. I'm going to have to teach him a lesson. So tonight, I took his bike, right? And tomorrow morning, he comes out, he wants to ride his bike to the shul or to school, whatever. My bike, it's gone, it's stolen, right? And I let him sweat for a day or two, and then I bring it back. I had no intention to steal it. And I only wanted to help him, to teach him, you know, to be more responsible about his money. Ach, bin a tzaddik, bin a bechanach, mamash, doing him a big favor. The truth is, it is a favor for him in life. But I'm over low sigzel, right? Even Fila could do him a taiva, that's the way the Shiltus' case is. Ein chachma, ein tuna, ein eitzen egen Hashem, the Torah says something low signovo, the Torah says low sigzel, all the shena cheshbeinais don't come in, it's still an isser, gezel is gezel. And we have to stay away from that.
I could hear that would apply to a father and a son also. The father gives the son a toy, and the child makes a kinyan on the toy. It's the child's toy.
Well, maybe. What do you do when your child now grows up and that same toy is now appropriate to the next child? You take it and you make a hand-me-down out of it, you give it to the next child. Let him say, no, it's mine, it was given to me. I'm going to have to put it up in a yard sale. I'm going to sell it. I'm going to keep the money for myself. I'll go buy something for myself. Say, no, I gave it to you when you were that age and you needed to have that size bike or whatever. And now you're moving on, so I'll get you a new bike. And this bike I'm taking you to the young kid. There it is. Because we don't give it to their children, and the children do not pick it up, and they do not make a kinyan. It's my bike that they're welcome to use. So, It's not an issue between the father and child.
It's not the same case as
Esrig, the reason you would give it to him is because there's a lacha of making it to be his. Therefore, now I won't make it to be his because that's a lacha required. Now he's a problem, he can't give it back to me. But other than that, when I give him food every day, right now it becomes his food that now he's welcome to eat on my table. He's literally. So that's it's still Shulchan Aviv, it still belongs to the father.
So if I take the bike to teach the kid a lesson, but I told the father ahead of time that I'm going to be taking the bike to teach
yes. The then technically you would be right. The problem is, the Gemara says in Sukkah, Mem Aleph, I know I didn't look it up, that says that a person says something to a child and promises something that even when halachically he's not required, then he has to do it. Because if you tell something to a child and you don't do it, then you're teaching him to be a shakran. The Gemara brings a pasuk in Yirmiyah of Limdu L'Shom Da'aber Sheker. You train them from young to be shakranim. You promise them, you know, if you do a certain whatever goal, then I'll give you a certain prize. And you don't, oh, well, I'm sorry, I wasn't able to do it. You've just told them right now you could renege on deals, and that's where they'll carry on business when they grow bigger also. You'll be mechanech them in Sheker. So same thing over here, I'd be concerned that, oh, I see that my neighbor, he's a fine erlich yid, a chashiv person, and he steals. So he's going to know a gantz alumnus that you made up with the father, and I just say a chiddush that it doesn't belong to you, it belongs, he's not going to know any chiddush. He's going to say, I see the Reb so-and-so next door is a ganav, I see it's okay to ganav. That's all that erlich is able to ganav. That's what he's going to learn from the story. And therefore, in the Gabi children, I think you have to be extra careful to be super erlich, because halavai, halavai, kuli hai ulai, they'll learn what it means to be an erlich yid.
Does
Darach
Schol conclude
Purim,
Mazikim on Purim?
We're not talking about being Mazikim. And Mazikim on Purim are never allowed to be Mazik purposely, to go over, take someone's thing and break it. I get wild on Purim and dancing and jumping on top of someone's table, and oh, someone falls over and now the chair breaks. No one went over to take the chair and smashed it, right? You know, Kavana. It's that you get carried away and you don't have to be so careful on Purim. That's the whole discussion over there in Hilchos Purim, whether we go with that or not is. But this is Bekavana. We're talking over here things that were done Bekavana.
Why does it say an exclamation?
That's the lashon of the Shulchan Aruch comes from the Rambam. The Rambam apparently holds that not all of this is in a real Isser Geneva or Gzela in the same case and by Gzela, because I never took it to keep it.
Because the Rambam?
And therefore this will be a Drabbanan, right? The real Bekoy Gzela or Gneva would be when I took it to keep it for myself. Or even I took it, never give back to you, I'm going to take it, and then I'm going to throw it overboard. Right? That's over here. Once I picked it up, even though I'm not going to keep it, but use it for myself, I'm going to throw it overboard. That the Gemara says, that's an Emes Gzela. But there I picked it up to keep it and never to return it. But when I'm just hiding it and then returning it afterwards, could be it's not a Gezel Dereisa, my Ramon's Mashma, but it's also Kadesh Le Yarglas Mekach. Afal Pikain, not everything is black. There's white and there's gray. Let's jump right now to Sif Aleph of Simon Kuft of Shinun Test, the beginning of Hilchos Gzela, where there's a very parallel description. And we're going to right now not yet focus on the Halacha of Gezel Akam, we'll talk about that. Over there he says, "Usur ligzol o lashek." Gzela is taking an object, and oishek is withholding something that you owe, whether it be a loan, whether it be wages, whether it be a pikadon that was given to you, something you have that you need to give to someone else. Usur ligzol o lashek afilo kolshu, as we said beforehand, in beginning Hilchos Geneva. These are 11, 12 simanim apart, but they're very similar. Afilo kolshu. Beim Yisrael, beim Ovin Chavim. We'll talk about the Shem about Gezel Akum separately. However, if it's a insignificant small item, then no one makes a deal about it. No one's makbet about it. Shari, then it's mutter. Like to take a toothpick, a little the splinter of wood off of a fence or a bundle of wood or a pile of hay or something like that, and just take off one little piece to use as a toothpick. No one's machmir on something like that. It's so insignificant. And therefore, that's not an Isser Gezel, and it's Shari, it's really mutter because people are not machmir. V'avzeh oyser b'yushalmi midas chasidus. Even so, the Shulchan Aruch brings down the Yushalmi says, also midas chasidus, you shouldn't even do that. And the Sma brings the reason is because what's the Yiddish expression? A shtickle makes a gantz of pickle or whatever. No, it's you'll take a toothpick, I'll take a toothpick, and soon there'll be nothing left. So if that could be the case, that things could accumulate, and many people will do that, then soon there'll be no, it'll be a significant damage. Therefore, you should stay away from that completely. But the concept over here is now being introduced. That's something that it's well established, it's an umdana, that people are low kopti bay, are not makbid about it, then that's not any sort of gezel. And this has numerous applications, but has to be careful not to be to be spread too far. For instance, someone left a pen over here. Usually look around one of the tables, you'll find a pen. And I need, what's your telephone number? Oh yeah, 484-7222. Fine. So I can't write it down. I'll look right away at my hand. No paper here. So I'll take a pen for someone else, I'll write down. How much, I'm using up some of their ink, just like I'm using some of their toothpick. How much ink do you use up out of ink to write down a telephone number? It's less than a toothpick out of a fence. It's insignificant. Now, to sit down and write a couple pages of notes on a shear, that's not going to use up the pen, but at least that's more significant. Right? So there, maybe I have to ask just before I do so. So we're just giving you an example of a Shikul HaDaas case about what's mutter. Now, that is also going to be a difference between a pen that was left out on the table. So apparently whoever owns this pen isn't not so particular about taking care of his things and making sure it doesn't get used by someone else. People that are more careful about their possessions don't leave them out on the table. They'll take it and put it away in a safe place. Same thing, let's say, by a safer. You usually don't have to go too far before you find a private safer. And, oh, the guy left his safer over here. His mishnayos, very nice mishnayos. Right? I'll have it belong to the shul. Uh-huh. But let's say it belongs over here to Yankel Schwartz. So Yankel Schwartz left his mishnayos. Go to any base medrash, any yeshiva, any shul in town, you'll find svarim lying around. So a person that doesn't want his svarim to be used by someone else takes them and puts them away on a shelf. Or else he writes in them a little note, please do not use without permission, or other such inviting terminology. When you left it outside, you don't put any danger, beware kind of signs on it, that means you're not makbid, right? So therefore, to take a look at the shittayas and look something up over here, the head look over here and look at the, that's mutter, because obviously he's not makbid on it. You don't even have to come on to that, to the umdana that a person doesn't mind, would even want someone to do a mitzvah with his possessions. Someone leaves his towels and tefillin and shul, even put away carefully in a cubby where they're supposed to be put, wherever people usually put their towels and tefillin. So there we have an umdana, the nichalei the inish the mevad mitzvah of a monei. A person wants people to do mitzvahs. It says in Siman Yudal and Hilchot Tzitzis Megidin Orachaim. You come into a shul, you're allowed to take out someone else's towels without permission. You're allowed to pick it up and make a kinyan on it. You make a bracha shirket shanu. You're allowed to use a tefillin. Providing that you use it there on location, not you take it somewhere else to another shul, and provided that you wrap it up and put it back the same way you found it when you're done with it. So then, mistam, he's nichalik. That's because there's an undun of a mitzvah. But without a mitzvah, if a person just didn't put it away carefully, obviously he's not makbid on it. Person, I don't know, left his hat, whoever left the hat over there, right? So if you leave a hat and you leave, so then you don't makbid on it. So you come over, you want daven mincha, you take the hat, you put it on, you daven mincha, you put it back where you got it from. Maybe you can say that's also neichel mitzvah money. Fine. I'm saying that when we have an umdana, a reason, a basis to say that a person not makbid, then there's no isra gzeil on it. Yeah, in classic halacha. The Ramon Yerodea says that Abistam, you're not allowed to use someone else's farm. Even so, the Aruch HaShulchan in Siman Yudal and Hilchot Tzitzis says that nowadays it's not like that. And nowadays it's even more not like that, more than the Aruch HaShulchan. Because even the days of the Aruch HaShulchan, right, not everyone had a shas. Not every city had a shas, right? Now every bar mitzvah bachra has a shas. And 25 other sets and everything else. Bookcases, you have to, after the bar mitzvah, you always have to go get a bookcase, because you have so many piles of boxes of a svarim over there, it's flying hard. So we have a ribuy of svarim, and they're relatively cheap, very easy, very accessible. It's not a rarity to get almost anything nowadays. So a svarim, we're not makbid on svarim so much. When you had to spend, a month or a few months worth of savings in order to be able to buy a safer that you needed, then you took care of it differently, and there weren't that many of them around. It was a rarity, so That's where that earlier halacha is coming from. Nowadays, Apistam Svarim that are left out, and they don't write Asur B'li Rishus or Rak B'Gamur or don't use without permission, and they don't put it away carefully in a private bookcase area, then there's an Asinus Rishus.
So the Rav's example was to look something up. So is there a difference between that and the
making a Seder Kavua?
You
might
learn with your Chavrus for an hour.
Okay, so now you have to make a hashara. How much is using it b'kvias? You know, the chashash is that if I really get a rangatan in it, I'm going to rip it accidentally. I'm going to bang on it, or maybe I'll even forget I write in it. Chas v'shalom, I'll put my hagos into your sefer, and it's going to have a hezek to it. Use it lightly, short. It's not going to use it. Presumably, I've put on your towels and tefillin, and I dive in shakras with it. Even a gansa lebedika. Seres may dig a tshuva, dig a davening. It's not going to be mazik your talis and tefillin. So you need to have a hashara, A, of the situation, is he makbid, and B, your usage, is it one that's going to take someone else's talis on simple Torah and dance with that? No, make a different story, because things happen on simple Torah.
Can you take a toothpick and knife from the fence?
Yeah.
Because it's us or licks all except for that, but us or lick like it doesn't say any exception.
But the reason for it is both is because he's not makbid. And it's not Derek Ganeva. Derek Ganeva means I'm trying to hide. You're not avoiding anyone seeing you over here. Do it right in front of the Baal HaBus. While you're sitting and talking with him, you just take things like that. You'll help yourself. Because you know, he for sure is not makbid. So when there's a clear basis that Rov B'nei Adam, no one would be makbid on such a thing, then there's no issur of Gezeila on that. There's Shinnun Tes Hey, Sif Hey, for a little bit further down, Afilo Kech B'She'ela, if you take something not to take it and steal and keep it, but rather just to borrow and use it for a while, Shlomo Das, buy without getting permission, Nikra Gazlan, show Shlomo Das as a Gazlan. So I can't help myself to use something of yours, other than these kind of cases like mitzvahs or insignificant tiny little things. But to use something of greater significance, Shol Shlomi Das is a Gazlan. We mentioned last week or the week before, Rosh Bramda says that's the basis of the issue of trespassing, because I'm using your Rishus without permission. But most other items like that are like that as well, that there's a dinner of Shol Shlomi Das is a Gazlan.
Isn't this the case Friday night where it's raining and I didn't bring my raincoat and there are 5 raincoats that are sitting that were never picked up? So I'll take one of those raincoats. I'm a
Gazlan
at that point.
This is the shikol das of that. If I don't think that the bialim of that thing is, if it's one of the people that I'm a bialim here in shul and I take it home and he's going to go home without a raincoat, obviously that's gazela. If it's one of those that have been sitting over there collecting dust for who knows how long and they really are ready to be just disposed of somehow or other, however the shul figures out what to do with it, so then passes the Shlomi Das Gazlan, who? Unless we're going to say on that, then the guy wouldn't mind. You don't say that. It says Beferish and Hilchot Tzitzis. You don't say that if you're going to take it away from the original place. To use it on location is one thing, but to take it somewhere else is another thing. Not why? Because you, with all good intentions, people are forgetful. And once you take it home and put it in your closet, you'll forget that you have to return. Oh yeah, that the whole thing. I forgot about it. And no one knew it's not on your mind. Mils lava da daite. And they won't come back.
This all depends on the Bible does, whether he's Bakronima. Money was
coming back. I don't know who the Bilam is, right? So now I have to just assume what Derek B'nai Adam at large is. If I know particularly you and I know how you have on Haga with general or with me specifically, then I'll have more information to go on. The raincoat over there, I don't know who it belongs to. Now, if you have your particular thing, I know that you're out of town, and I know there's your raincoat, and you're one of my best friends, and I'm sure you would want me to do it. So then that's another shiloh. Does that become now an asinus rishus? So there is over here a shach, the bottom one on the page, that is mechadish a big chiddush, and he says it connected a group of rishonim. He brings from Tosfos and the goes to Shri and the Mordechai, Neila Metzias and Bar Metzias, that says that even though I know that he would want me to do something, I'm still not allowed to do it. Because he didn't give rishus, he doesn't know about it. Read his words. Which means that Reuven gives Shimon to eat from some of his neighbor Levi's stuff. I'm sure he would be happy to serve it here, have you, if you know that you're such a wonderful guest. Sure, I'm sure he would like to give it to you. So Reuben gives Shimon some of Levi's stuff. So Ava Bishi Odeish Chaber Yisratza, even though I'm positive that if he would know that Levi's here, oh, Levi, my good friend, the Chashav Levi, he's here, of course I would want to give it to him. Still, it's also L'Achlai, because L'Achlai by Yish L'Midas L'Haviyosh. Yish L'Midas L'Haviyosh means that even though we know what you would want when you would find out about it, but until you find out about it, there is no active Ratzon. There's nothing there to create that allowance. And therefore, the fact that we know what you would want if you would find out about it doesn't create Yish, doesn't create Nesinus Rishus. That's what the Rishonim say. The Shah comes along and puts himself out on a limb, rather brave step he takes, and he says, Ilavda Mistafina Hisi Yomish Mutter. I myself, the Shach, I would say it's Mutter to do this. Elo Messias, if you teach that in school, this would be a Kiddush in the Shach. And he says, Yishlom Bidas is something that if I would know about it, I would never resign myself to it against my will. I don't want to lose my items. Right? It's that, what could I do? I don't know where it is. I'm not going to spend the rest of my life searching for it. Okay, forget it. Finally, Chasar and Kiss, I give up on it. But to resign yourself against your will to it is only at that point that you find out about it, and then I make that decision. I'm not going to keep on chasing about it. I say, okay, forget it. You know, chalk it up as being a business loss. That's what you do, Bakarcha Shloker at Sinai. But when you say have something that it's Yodea in the Lashon HaTosis, Yodea Shechaver Yisratzeh, when you talk about something that he does want, then, as it says on the bottom of here, Kevin Yodea Shechaver Imkin Hashanah Behateros Liyadi Demistama Enamak Barazeh. Then I could say in advance, I know this is something that you're Nichalei. In other words, the Shachas B'Machadesh, that even though you don't have a conscious knowledge, and right now actually thinking and giving permission to something, but there is a constant unspoken das, that things that are right up my alley, what I want always to happen. I'll give you a tzushtel, that he doesn't bring it, but the Gemara says in Bavastra and Dalit maybe, that which means that I have a chatzar, chatzar mishtameres, it has a fence around it, and now an item of value falls into it. So then, even though I'm not there, so it's kainet for it. Why? Because a person always has das, but I don't know that it's there. Well, if you would know that it's there, you would zirchu want it to be kaina, and therefore it's kaina. But I don't know that it's there. So if I would know, that's a yishlomi das kind of situation. But in the meantime, until I know about it, there's no das. Teretz is that you say that a person has a constant das, whether I'm awake, whether I'm asleep, whether I'm at home, whether I'm abroad, whatever falls in my chatzar, that's a valuable item, I want it to be kind of. So I don't have to have a conscious decision, the knowledge about every particular case. There's another halacha, a widespread halacha in Shas, that's called Zochalon Shlomo Fanav. Right? We use it many, many times. Mishnah and Gemara talk about it. That if I have an item of value that I want to give to you and you're not around, so I give it to him, and I say, be kind of now for the one who wants to do it. We have a minute here in Shul on bar mitzvahs, that our bar mitzvah boy, we give him a sefer, the governor's bar mitzvah. You can't give him a ton on Shabbos, make a kinyanim. So what I do is before Shabbos, I mocked it to him. Now the bar mitzvah boy and me are not necessarily together on a Friday afternoon. So I go to whoever's in Shul and say, Reb Yid, please pick kind of this up now for the bar mitzvah boy. He knows the bar mitzvah boy. He doesn't know the one. Doesn't matter. Pick it up for the bar mitzvah boy. Okay, go after him. Pick it up for the bar mitzvah boy. And now he's kind of he's safe to shlo fun of. The zochah shlo fun of now makes it that it becomes the bar mitzvah boy's safer on Friday afternoon. I'm now his shomer for it. I hope I'll deliver it. And on Shabbos morning, I give it to him. I say, Mazel Tov, here's your new safer. That's already yours from before Shabbos. Zochah shlo fun of. Now, what zochah shlo fun of mean? Because we could assume that for sure a person wants something for his benefit. And therefore, if there's someone out there that wants to give him something and needs a shliach to be kainet for him, I want him to be my shliach. But I don't have that das. I'm not aware of it. It's not a conscious thing. It's a yishlomi das. If I would know, I would want. But in the meantime, I don't know. So my would have want wouldn't help. That's a yishlomi das. Dr. Shach, this is his fara. Because I have a constant das for things that I do want. I want my chatz to be kainet. I want my shliach to be kainet. Right? I want... If my good friend or my relative comes to my house, gesundrei, give him whatever he wants. I'm happy to serve him breakfast, lunch, and supper. That's what I always want. I don't have a constant das. I want to give up on my nechasa and make them hefker. That's nebuch. Sometimes people have to resign themselves to the unfortunate. Go ahead. I'm just a shach. I'm not. I'm.
Two things. One, not such a limit to the case of that.
Okay.
Because there, you're saying that we're being maknet to a person something shelo midas. Those cases. Here, we're saying we're taking something away from a person shelo midas, which is not the same, which is not necessarily a limit.
Okay.
Number one.
Okay. I was bringing up the Gemara says that zeichen ana zeichen le adam or minan zeichen may adam leyer minan. Here you have to give something away from him because of his das. So the Shach is telling us a chiddush that even when you're mizeichin may adam, that also das could also work. He's not makbid. I think the Shach, although he's in Shinnun Ches, is grounded based on Shinnun Tes. It says that I'm allowed to go by your fence and take a toothpick. Why? Because you're not makbid. But you don't know about it. If I would call you up and say, are you makbid? Of course not. Okay, thanks so much. Right, but I didn't call you up, so it was the Yishol Midas, and that's like Mayotim. Right? So you see over here, that's something that there's no Kupeda, there's no Gezel.
And the second thing is that even the bigger Kiddush is that here, the case of the Shach is talking about where Machal the Dover, right? We were even talking about a case of She'ela.
Again, the toothpick. The toothpick is gone.
Talking about the case like the raincoat and shul, or something.
The raincoat is a problem because it's going
there,
out of there. The toothpick you're destroying. The toothpick is gone.
Because
it's darvish. I'm not makbid on this. Is also not makbid. If I'm not home and my rebbe or my mother or zayin gazun comes over to my house and there's a guest over there. Oh, here, let me give you what would you like? So breakfast, lunch, supper, coffee, tea. Well, the bottle buzz at home. We have to wait until he comes. We have to call him and ask him whether he's allowed to have to. What do you mean? My mother's here. Give her whatever she wants, right? So I don't have to start asking Rishus. That's a zikr umdana. So the Shach is saying that that's... Now, in Ornu Mekayim, the Shach, with what the suya is that he's coming from, is that it has to be klar. It has to be bar. It has to be, for instance, if five other times I've always asked you and you've always given it to me. So I'm sure right now you give it to me too. So even though you put your safer carefully away, and you put your pen carefully away, but we and you, me and you, we always lend each other these kind of things, and I've 20 times already asked you, already give it to me. So I'm sure you're going to give it to me this time. I don't have to come and ask you nachamol. That's a real little like that. That's really the basis of nichalela inner shlameva mitzvah mamani. Because we have now umlana, we know that that's a person's nichusa. Bottom line, then that's what it really depends on. But you have to be very careful and not just... flippant with deciding, oh yeah, I'm sure he's not makbid, and then walk all over everything, right? You have to really have a ground to be able to say that it's something a person not makbid on it.
Gemara says also that the shliach can give truma for somebody, even
the das, when you can give it to another. That's suya that Tosa is going on there, over that's where Tosa says that it doesn't work. But take a look at that. That is the suya over there in Bava Metzia. The Shulchan Aruch in Shin Nun Tes Sif Beis, going up a little bit further, says a chiddush, an interesting chiddush. Also ligzol, afila manazal shalim, davar yachav imenu. Even if I'm going to steal from you the silver and replace it back with gold, that's a pretty good deal. You're not allowed to. Because, you say you will, when I'll see it, when I'll believe it when I see it. Between your good intentions and actually carrying it out might be far away. So right now I have my silver, you leave my silver alone, don't tell me you're going back. But what happens if right now I actually need that silver for something? I have gold, I'll replace it on the spot. But for some reason, to give me a case, the Gemara has a case, that I need that silver, right? I want to be a Kaddish and Isha, and she says, I only on the last thing you have kesef. I don't want stuff. That's the way I am. Whatever her gebet is. So... I'm desperate. The chuppah is in 15 minutes. So then I want to go now and take your silver and give you a piece of gold now of greater value there at the same time and be able to replace that and take it from you. Afila abanasa shalom darbar yafim mimeto. Even though I'm going to give you back something better, it's still usher. But yesh mishaymer. Even so, the mechaber brings down, this is a psak of the tour, the rush, they have their basis. Tahainu im ein hatashlumim en. That only applies when the item that you're going to give in instead, the replacement, is not here. Just a promise that I will give you back the gold, and a commitment in my mind, I will give you back something better later on, that's not going to fly. But if they're already actually at hand and available, since I'm going to replace it with something on the spot right now of greater value than the thing I'm taking away, we say again, that that's something that presumably the person will be overjoyed. If you want to replace all the silver I have in my house with gold, go right ahead. And then be marked to him right now, again. Not that he's going to have to come on and collect it from you later on, or rely that you're going to remember to give it to deliver it later on. But if you put it down on the table right now, and you mazaket him, it's his gold right now. You take away the silver, then that's butter. There's a gemara above a comment of samachom base about David HaMelech going to war against the Plishtim, and they needed the saorim of the Yisraelim in order to feed their animals then in battle. The Yisraelim, the David HaMelech's men. And I guess the bottom went to where I get all the civilians ran away from the battle scene. So they, what they're going to do is they're going to conquer the Plishtim right over there. And over there they had some very expensive stuff, some Adashim that was growing there, much, much more expensive than Sa'arim. And we'll replace all the Sa'arim with Adashim. That'll be better to do. So that'll be worthwhile. So the Gemara over there says it was Usher. And the reason that the Rush explains is because at the time that you're taking away the Sa'arim, you don't yet have the replacement Adashim. But if you would already have that replacement of the more valuable substitute, but your Sa'arim is right now what you need to feed your animals at war. They eat barley and oats, they don't eat beans. So you could replace that on the spot. And we say, Zochon Mishlofanov, that's a umdana that he'd be nichalei.
Is the problem of Ben is because we're afraid you'll forget?
Right.
What happened about leaving them, David HaMelech could have left an IOU from the king.
And then he's going to have to start collecting you, and if you bother the king, the IOU like that you could take and you could frame, but you don't necessarily collect very easy. Bezin doesn't like to, cross off a Bezin. The king thing too quick.
Value doesn't mean value to the person.
Value means market value. Now, good point. Good point. So the tour says, that this is only something that's not going to be used for personal consumption, which maybe I like silver. That's what I like myself. My silver over here, I got from my father Zal's Estric box. So I don't want that replaced with gold. That was my father's house. That too was silver, and that's why. So something for personal usage, I might have my preferences. Where the Rush is talking in context by that merchandise for sale. So then, if I'm going to sell silver, I'd rather sell gold. I'll get more money on the market. So there, it's not a matter of personal taste. It's purely the value is the only thing that really governs. So, but when it's going to be a matter of your personal stuff, maybe you happen to like this brand. You don't like the better stuff. That's what this is your preference, or whatever whatever reason the person might have different preferences. So again, we're using the assessment, the umdana of what people would allow, and then we say it's not gazel. But whatever when we cross that line and say take something that a person would not allow, then we're talking about a situation of gazel. I don't want to rush through it because there's just so much to talk. And I wasn't planning to even say shir next week, but now I am. And that is that in Sif Beis of the first Siman, Shemem Ches, and Sif Aleph of the second Siman, it says that it's Kol Goynev Shava Pruta Yitzchayev Echad Goynev Mamon Yisroel Echad Goynev Mamon Shel Goyim. This applies with Goyim as well. And likewise in Shinun Tess, Aleph, it says, also Ligzor, Lasher, Koshu, Beim Yisrael, Beim Bava Kechavit. This introduces the concept of Gezel Akum. And Gezel Akum is a great subject that has so many applications with Zmanazet. And together with that goes in Shin Mem Ches, the first area on top, in the little letters, which is the Ramah, that talks about Tos Akum and the difference between a Tos that he makes on his own and Bimate, causing him to, make that most tricking him, tos akum, and these kinds of things. What you're allowed to do, what you're not allowed to do, is a broad subject, a breita sugya that I'm not going to rush through in 2.5 minutes that are left. So, Be'ez Hashem, we will talk about that next week, Blue Netter. and then we will take our high holiday break. I have a couple of things I have to prepare for the Yom Teruah, and then we'll reconvene new territories, new sugyas after Yom Teruah.
Let's get back to the Bar Mitzvah. We forgot to tell the bar, we forgot to machne the sefer to the congregant before Shabbos.
Right.
So
then on Shabbos I can't make a kinyan.
So I
tell the Bar Mitzvah Bachar that on Shabbos I'm giving it to you right now on loan until after Shabbos.
And that's
my sefer. You want to learn it? You're welcome to use my sefer. After Shabbos you can pick it up.
Okay. If you like to drink a bottle of wine on Shabbos,
right?
You can't. They can drink it without you giving it to them, right?
Yeah, you don't have to make a kinyan. And likewise, when you go over to someone's house, you're allowed to eat their food if they give you permission, whether you make
right.
a kinyan on that or not. You're my guest.
You're not making a kinyan.
Right. But when you give a gift to someone, like a sefer, generally you want them to be kinyan.
It doesn't have to be kinyan. You can
it doesn't have
to. Someone's house without it being kinyan.
Right. So then what you do is you tell them, this is, if it'll be yours, welcome to use it. After Shabbos, will become yours.
You can give a food gift on Shabbos to someone with if you're not eating there? So someone has a Shalom Zachar and you didn't give it to them before Shabbos, can you go and give
them?
So
I want to put my plate of cake onto your Shalom Zachar table and everyone's welcome to eat my plate of cake. I have to know if you're making Yanim, one has to be Shalachem. You don't have to have such
You have to speak it out?
What?